Now, my first guest this morning leads a company that's been on the acquisition trail. It's called Chris Mee Group, and it's active in a wide range of areas, from safety training to providing safety audits to helping companies reduce their carbon emissions. This morning, it's announced an expansion in the area of food safety, having completed its second acquisition in recent months. And joining me now to discuss the deal and the company's plans for the future is Chris Mee Group Chief Executive Brian Murnan. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Chris.
Let's talk about this food safety acquisition. It takes place in a market that's pretty fragmented, I think it's fair to say. Do you see yourself as a consolidator?
Yes, absolutely. There's perhaps 200 companies operating in our space, and we started out like all of them as a one-man operation that over 20 years grew into a broad-based provider. So, but now in recent times, we've taken on a strategic investor, the Aerospeg Partners Group, who has added some capital and ambition and some management clout to the group. And the strategy going forward is to grow by acquisition and consolidate the industry.
Yeah, and it's not just food safety we're talking about. There's other areas as well where you think there could be opportunities.
Yes, absolutely. As I said, we're a very comprehensive provider, and I suppose characteristic of the space is that you have a large number of companies that specialize very narrowly. For a long time now, the group has been one that offers pretty much an end-to-end service within traditional safety. But the strategy going forward, of course, is to widen that even further, to get into different industries, to get into different sectoral specialties, and to enhance the offering using them.
Yeah, so if somebody is looking for safety training in whatever particular area, your hope is that they'll come to you and say, look, these guys can sort me out kind of whatever area I'm looking at. How has the pandemic been for you, Brian? You do a lot of online safety courses for companies, and one might assume that COVID has been good for you, because safety obviously is important in the context of COVID, and you sort of already have the online learning capability.
We do, but that was significantly less true before the pandemic. The breakdown of our revenue is about 30% training, and the vast majority of which prior to COVID was done on an instructor-led basis. So when COVID hit, that 30% of our revenue virtually came to a standstill overnight. So like other training providers, we had to pivot and go online, which we did quite nimbly. But I suppose what we also learned is that applying that technology to the content that we bring in training also creates other opportunities. And in a couple of cases, we've had some really good success in going well beyond the scope of our Irish customers, simply enabled by that technology.
Yeah, well, clearly the move to online is obviously, you know, exciting, I suppose, in terms of the opportunity for international expansion. Can I ask you about the fees, though? Did you cut the fees for your courses once they moved online? This is kind of an area that attracts comment.
No doubt. The simple answer is no. We took a slightly different strategy. We chose to add value. One example would be what we provide in the greenhouse gas management space, carbon space, where again, we provided classes on an instructor-led basis. When it went to virtual workshops led by our instructors, we essentially added additional content with a view to enabling students to more practically take on the tasks in their companies that we were training them to do. So we could have gone one way or the other. You could conceivably, legitimately have reduced prices, or you could have added value. We did the latter.
Can I ask you about how cyclical your business is? Because obviously when you're in a crisis like COVID has caused in terms of the economy, companies are looking to save money. And I wonder, is safety training an area where it's easy to make a cut? Maybe companies can say, look, we'll just do the absolute bare minimum and try and save a few bob.
We are vulnerable to that. Even though a substantial amount of safety work is statutorily mandated, companies will choose to either not do it at all in some cases, or postpone it for short-term commercial reasons. We see that all the time. However, other drivers are increasingly relevant in our space. In a lot of cases, the real safety culture of our customers is driven by their own value set, and they will pursue their safety programs with us or others simply because they believe it's the right thing to do. The other big driver that we see is the whole concept of risk management, where the business interruption risk that comes to businesses associated with safety concerns or not managing safety concerns properly is a driver. So people's insurance underwriters are saying to them, your risk profiles are overly high for us. Your premiums are going to have to go up. What are you doing to proactively reduce the risk of your business? And that's where we come in with practical solutions to drive that down. So we like to think that coming from a base of being statutorily mandated, increasingly people are using good business sense to decide how to spend their safety budgets.
Okay, well, very interesting stuff, Brian. Congrats on the deal, and look forward to seeing how it goes over the next little while. It's clear you'll continue to be on the acquisition trail. That's Chris Mee, Group Chief Executive, Brian Murnane. We'll be back in just a moment.